8 degrees with a wind chill. Westwood winds about 11 miles per hour.
11.
And I just want to throw 11 in there. 11 sounded very, a lot like 10 to 11. 10, just saying 10 wasn't enough. And 86% chance of precipitation. And again, kickoff conditions driven by classic Chevy of Menor. But we take a brief reprieve here from Brown Steelers to talk with one of our favorite Thursday guests here of college football news. The great Pete Futek joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Pete.
Oh, my God. It's like the worst weather. I grew up in Minneapolis, so I know what like 40 below feels like. There's no colder weather than being at a football game that's 34-ish degrees outside. It's not cold enough to snow it. Maybe there's a little light rain or something that just – you just never get warm at games like that.
Yeah, so as a Midwesterner, I'm going to need to warn you that you're about to lose your Midwest privileges by saying 34 is too cold.
Yay, everything – the entire world should be revolving around sporting events in Las Vegas, San Diego, and Miami. I am absolutely good with that. I'm more than happy. I've put in my time. I've earned my stripes here.
If only we had a discussion every day about whether or not to put a dome in this city.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I guess. You know, it's – hey, look, again, Minneapolis, I grew up with a dome, so I get it. But I digress. But look, to the overall point, by the way, big plus that for the college football playoff, pretty much all the – it's been said that all the home teams are going to play at their home sites. They're not taking these to a neutral site or a dome game or anything like this. So – any Big Ten team that does play in a, you know, adverse weather environment or a Notre Dame or something, yeah, you might get the elements on in a late December as opposed to, you know, like the Indianapolis Dome or whatever like that.
Well, so, Pete, I'm glad you brought that up because – and we'll get to Ohio State and Indiana in a second. But, like, the conversation this past week was revolving around what happens when SEC teams go to these Big Ten sites, because the SEC teams, they haven't had to deal with 35-degree weather. We talk about Tua all the time in the NFL. Tua cannot play in cold weather. He doesn't win in games under 45 degrees. There's got to be someone like a Carson Beck, for instance, that just can't play in cold weather.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of these teams can't do it. And, you know, and try the warm weather teams from California and stuff. But you always see that. There was one bowl game I'm completely whiffing on. It was in the mid-2000s where Miami literally went from, it was 80 and beautiful in Coral Gables, to play it like a pinstripey type of bowl where it was like 14 degrees in New York City. And they just, you could see after a quarter, they're like, we want nothing to do with this game. And that's a factor. You know, for some of these ACC games that get played in Pitt and places like that late. Yeah, it is a factor. So, I mean, who knows? You know, hopefully it's nice. Hopefully weather conditions aren't the deciding factor. I always kind of think that kind of stinks when, you know, you have it's determined by, you know, 50-mile-an-hour winds or something like that. But yeah, it's got to be a factor if, like, an Ole Miss has to come to Penn State or something like that for the first round of the playoff.
Pete Futek, college football news in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, we got a Donnybrook, couple top 10 Big Ten teams, but Ohio State, Indiana, the whole shebang. But my coworker Anthony Lima, he's a Buckeye alum, he also hates the Buckeyes, says Indiana is a fake top 5 team. Agree or disagree, sir?
Yeah, but who cares? You know, it's the greatest year in the school's history. I mean, they've got it. They're there, and the sweetest gig, by the way, is to be the 11-1 team that doesn't have to play in a conference championship. Because now, if you're Indiana and you lose this, and let's start with this: this talk that, oh, if Indiana loses 65-3, they're out. No. They're not going to leave out an extra Big Ten, an 11-1 Big Ten team. They might not get a home game. They might be like a 10 seed. But if they're just slightly respectable, and Ohio State goes on to win this, beat Michigan and beat Oregon and be the number one seed, they're going to be like, hey, look, their one loss is at number one Ohio State. It's fine. And so, but who cares? You know, you're Ohio State. And, you know, think about this from – I know Ohio State's so stressed and, like, everything's just so right now. But think about how awesome this is if you're a Buckeye fan potentially here. Like, look, Michigan might not go to a bowl game. If they whiff this week, which they probably won't do, but, you know, they still got to get bowl eligible. And now, crazy enough, the Indiana game actually is a bigger deal. Obviously, Ohio State fans just want to beat Michigan and bury them by 70. But in a million years, did we ever think that Indiana would be the biggest game on the schedule for Ohio State? And as it turns out, yeah. But a great team. They don't miss. They don't make mistakes. They don't screw up themselves. They don't commit penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They block and tackle well. They've got a really, really sound team. But Indiana has not dealt with anything like this Ohio State defense. And what kind of stops the offenses like this to get, you know, make big plays in space? It's having Caleb Downs. It's having secondary guys who can tackle. So I do think this is where the Ohio State defense rises up. And I think this is where Will Howard finally starts to get a little more credit for being really kind of good this season. And I think he has a very good game, even if it's not statistically great. I think he's going to play really well.
Does the offensive line concern you? They just lost their center now. He's out for the rest of the season. They've been banged up all on that offensive line all year long already. Like, at some point, you got to say uncle there.
Yeah, how can you not? I mean, that's where and Indiana brings the heat. In this game, watch out for it's not the worst thing in the world where, you know, this is where social media will get on Will Howard. Oh, he threw that pass away, or, you know, he ate it and took a sack or something. That's not a bad thing, because this Indiana defense is really creative in ways they pressure the pass. So what do you do if you're Ohio State and you have an offensive line that's a real big question mark? You start bashing away. You just start pounding, and eventually the dam will break. Don't get cute. Don't try to do anything, you know, funky with your passing game and blocking schemes. You're going against a defensive front that knows what it's doing. So you just line up. Your offensive line is stronger than their defensive line, and just keep pounding away. And it might not be pretty, but it should be effective midway through the third quarter.
Pete, I know Kurt Cignetti just got the contract extension there. I think it was like doubling his salary or something like that. Is there any way this guy can make this last at Indiana, considering it's such a historical anomaly?
I think I told you this before. Like, normally, I am completely against ever giving a head coach a contract extension. It doesn't work. Eventually, you're going to give up bad paper. It's just a bad deal. Anytime you have a big win, oh, let's add 3 more years to this guy's contract. It doesn't work, Jimbo Fisher. But, like, if you're Indiana and you've never won at football, yeah, I get it. Give this guy a shot. I was there. You know, I've mentioned this a million times. I went to Wisconsin before in the Don Morton era. I was there when Barry Alvarez took over. That you can see how one guy in a mindset can change an entire school and how it operates in a sport like this where, yeah, I mean, they're never going to get the 5 stars like Ohio State will get. But you can have a program and a style that, okay, if you're going to a bowl game every year and you created interest in a sport that there was zero interest in ever since now, yeah, he's worth the money.
Pete, I've told you before how long I've been listening to do like radio hits across the country and everything, and I go back to, you know, 670 in Chicago listening to do hits on Boers and Bernstein. But what I've always loved about you is that you will amuse the unconventional. And I feel like I'm that way as well, sometimes to a detriment. But I think they lost me between Lane Kiffin revealing some coaches don't want to play in the SEC title game, and then whatever that was Joey Galloway was spitting out there, where you should just not even play your quarterback if you're Indiana because that will help you out long term. Like, are we taking the conversations a bridge too far here?
Yeah, that one's a little – look, I'm not going to – dog that group or anything, but there is not exactly an Algonquin round table of college football minds on that show. I get where he was going, because like last year at this time, remember, Florida State was rolling. All you had to do if you were Florida State was not play Jordan Travis against North Alabama, and one injury and all of a sudden the entire program collapsed and it has not recovered. So I get his point a little bit, but you're not. Come on, you're. It's Indiana football. You're undefeated. How about trying to beat Ohio State? Because they could happen. I mean, look, right day, right time. If this thing works, if you're Cignetti, you can't. We forget when Cignetti took this job. It's kind of lost. We all blew it off. Where Cignetti in his initial press conferences, we're going to beat Michigan. We're going to beat Ohio State. We're going. And it was like, ah, ha ha, very funny. Very, and dude's doing it. So. I get it. That was a little bit crazy. But no, yeah, you play all your guys right now. But we are going to get to a point where if you are locked into a college football playoff spot pretty much, yeah, you might want to start thinking about resting people up and getting everyone healthy for what's coming in 3 weeks.
Pete, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy this slobber knocker between Indiana and Ohio State. Another great weekend of college football, buddy. Appreciate you.
Later, guys.
Pete Fucek, college football news there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So it's not that I think Lima's wrong. It's just a year where I think you could make a case that 99% of the top 15 aren't top five teams.
Yeah, and a lot of the teams that you don't like right now or the teams that you're doubtful of, you look at the schedules, a lot of the teams have not played great teams in general.
Yeah, this feels like – so the first year we had four playoff teams, I remember thinking there actually are five playoff teams.
Yeah, it was a battle.
And because you kind of loosen your idea of what that is – so that was us kind of broadening our mind on what a playoff team is. This is not that. There's no traditional, like, oh, you got to go through Georgia. Oh, you got to go through Ohio State. Like, even Ohio State and Oregon, as seen as dominant as they are, they have weaknesses, which only makes the next 2 months that more interesting. But, like, yeah, do I think Indiana is truly a great team?
No,
I don't know that they have the same kind of talent, but this year it does seem like talent isn't the only thing that matters, even when it comes to the most talented, the 1% of 1%.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how Indiana does, though. Like, if we're just trying to figure out exactly how fraudulent they are, if you believe that they are fraudulent, this week will tell you what you need to know.
And if you really want to see chaos, Indiana beating Ohio State at football would be objectively hilarious,
Does Ryan Day make it to even coach Michigan?
Yes, he does. Okay. That great stuff again with Pete Fucek. When we come back to the Browns and Steelers, we'll get you to lines and odds and then Doran Dickerson of the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh next on 92.3 The Fan.